Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Completely.
It's 32 seconds after the hour 12, and this, the month of January, the year of our Lord, 2003. Thank you for coming by. It's Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios of Hot Talk. Wow, what a cool effect. Is that just in my...
No, that's in my headphones, too. I like hearing this.
I think we're listening to
a three-second delay.
Sarah somehow got that delay piped into my headphones. So I'm hearing everything
twice,
3 seconds after I say it.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
Jesus God.
It's weird.
It's like being high. So I'm told. All right. I can't describe to you how weird this is, by the way. I can't describe to you how strange it is hearing everything 3 seconds after. I'm talking, I'm opening my mouth, words are coming out, and then 3 seconds later, I'm hearing it. And it comes out of my headphones about 3.5 seconds after I say it, so it's like I'm warping the laws of time and space by speaking. I've actually now just removed my headphones.
So have I.
I'm going to do my show without headphones until this is fixed. Imagine, this is what it's like to be deaf, by the way. This is what it's like to be Helen Keller, where you say something and then somebody's going to sign it back to you or whatever.
I'm going
to
give us one of those white sticks.
All right.
Oh, that's the blind.
In any event, it is Friday. It is January 3rd, I think, 1st, 2nd, 3rd. We are here. We're live. We are here joined by the lovely Sarah Dillon. Coming up later on, we're going to have Richard Nunn for the WB, who's going to be joining us. He's going to give us the grand total of money he won in dangerous online gambling yesterday.
Brad, the car guy, is going to be here in a few minutes. He's at the L.A. Auto Show.
Yeah, baby. Is that the guy who hooked you up with the the repellent Baja? All right, so we've got that coming up. We got top five today, the top five non-country drinking songs of all time. Top five non-country songs about drinking of all time coming your way. And all of that. Plus many more surprises, too numerous.
I think your voice is catching up.
All right. Were we able to get a hold of Bruce, by the way?
Not yet.
All right.
Nope, no Bruce.
Well, okay, in any event, we've got all of that coming up, as well as Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. And your phone calls. If you'd like to get on board today, it's so simple. A child could do it. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. You can also drop us an email. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. This is Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This news is brought to you by AutoZone. Now's the time to make sure your car's starter, alternator, and battery are ready for the cold weather. Go to the AutoZone for a free starting and charging system test today. Get to the zone. The AutoZone. Okay. Well, police say they now have credible information that a man accused of killing his family has headed into Canada. Canadian police are concerned that 37-year-old Edward Morris may have crossed the border into British Columbia. Now, a woman in Abbotsford, B.C., claims she noticed a man in a gray minivan looking at her 2-year-old child when she was stopped at a traffic light. Imagine that. The woman said the vehicle also had Oregon plates, but you didn't get the license number. So.
All right, so this is what's his name? This is Daniel, I keep wanting to call him Daniel Ellsberg. This is what's his name? Edwin Morris or whatever the hell his name is?
Allegedly.
So he's where?
He's in Canada, according to the Canadian Mounties.
And what I've heard at this point, it certainly sounds like a very good sighting. Whether in fact it was a suspect or not, it has yet to be determined.
Now, using the alias Jim Elliott, we found out what that means. This is the name of a Portland-born missionary murdered in Ecuador in the 1950s. He served as a Christian missionary and was killed along with four others. His story is told by his wife. He's considered a modern martyr to a lot of these Christian-type folks.
So it's a symbolic alias.
Yeah.
Great.
We also have the FBI confirming that Morris worked in Dutch Harbor, Alaska during the late 1980s and could return there. They don't know how much money he could have taken with him. Now, a lot of people are saying, okay, well, why is Canada so easy to enter? Well, along the 48th parallel, get this, there's only one INS agent every 10 miles.
Not that everybody bad either. Everybody bad now is either coming from or going into Canada.
Yeah.
So Canada, isn't that right? Canada, that place leaked like it's made out of cheesecloth or something. Isn't one of those five guys that were headed to Disney World, which, by the way, is where Matthew Peterson is headed right now. Did those five guys come from Canada?
More likely, yes. And Canadian security agents know fully well that it's easy to even use these old logging roads that straddle the border to elude the law on both sides.
We know, too, that the Soviets used to use these kinds of paths to insert people into the States from Canada in the old Cold War days. So I don't see, A, why that might not be happening today, and B, why that shouldn't be of extreme concern to both countries.
Yeah, all right.
And by the way, the offer still stands. Mr. Edward Morris, if you're listening,
we ask you to call 911, the nearest phone, and surrender yourself.
All right.
I don't think you can do that in Canada.
Yeah, please, please do that.
What's that Canadian 911?
I don't know. Nobody knows. Sure. All right. It's Friday. We are here. We are live. We're joined by Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom, the lovely Sarah Dillon, and Clyde Lewis, who apparently it's a hard building to find, by the way, because we're now at 8 minutes, nearly 9 minutes after the hour, and I think Clyde Lewis just arrived. So, long night with the Klingons, apparently. It's 503-250-TANETI in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. And do you wonder if there's some underground band of Christian revolutionaries or something that helps all these guys escape? Because wasn't that the case with, what's his name, Eric Rudolph? Remember Eric Rudolph was a guy that didn't shoot a bunch of abortion doctors? They blew up some abortion clinics or something, allegedly.
Oh, yeah.
And they think he's the one who planted the bomb that Richard Jewell got nailed for at the Atlanta. Anyway, and he just vanished into the hinterlands of West Virginia or something, and nobody's ever found him. These guys still
they never
been
found. Rounded up Christians after that happened.
No, and they never did find him. So apparently, if you're a Christian on the lam, I don't know, maybe there's some hidden symbol on houses or something, you can go, you can find assistance and aid. This is Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom.
More from our Canadian corner. This is news for our friends who live above the 48th parallel. Two would-be Canadian thieves learned the hard way on New Year's Day that knowing how to drive a car is a prerequisite to stealing one. Two guys accosted a pizza delivery man in northeast Edmonton, Alberta, early Wednesday and demanded four pizzas as well as cash. The bandits, ages 17 and 18, changed their minds at one point and jumped into the man's car. But their getaway was spoiled because the 17-year-old behind the wheel did not know how to drive a stick shift.
Oh.
Well, what's this word?
What are you looking at me for? I can't even see the copy. It's on the other side of the counter.
Flummoxed.
Ah, flummoxed. Flummoxed is a great
word.
No, flummoxed is, it's one of them there English words. Flummoxed means, you know, it means to be befuddled or confused by.
Well, flummoxed by the manual transmission and clutch, the duo then went back to their original plan to commandeer the pizzas. It was a toss-up between pizzas in the car, and the pizzas won.
Excellent.
When officers arrived at the scene, they spotted one of the Canadians entering the home where the pizzas were to be delivered.
Let me talk to you. Oh, God. Let me talk to you about stick shifts for just a moment. Why is it? Does anybody here drive a stick shift?
I do most of the time.
I don't even know how to drive one.
Well, okay, and that's the thing. So you don't, Clyde doesn't, I don't. And then the car you have right now is what?
It's automatic.
Okay, but you do most of the time?
Yep.
Why? I mean, was that by design? Did you deliberately... This is totally a thing that guys do, by the way. Deliberately going out and looking for a car that's a stick shift. I mean, what for what possible reason? Like, doesn't it seem like
most
a stick
of,
shift
most
is...
Most of the cheap cars are four-speed.
Well, I mean, you can. No, I mean, you can drive a stick shift.
I used to drive a truck. I used to drive a big old diesel truck.
But I'm saying in 2003, if you've got your druthers about the kind of car you want to buy, why would you possibly go looking for something intentionally that has a stick shift? It just seems like more work. Plus, it eliminates a number of other things you can do with your hands. You know, that's, I'm an American. I want the car to do work for me. All right. Speaking of cars, is this Brad at the car show?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Let's talk to your, it's Tim Riley's new benefactor, his best friend in the entire world, Brad. Brad, what's up with you, man?
Hey, Rick. You know, sitting in the media lounge chilling on free Krispy Kremes.
Life is sure hard for you guys. For those who don't know, by the way, Brad is the one, you are the guy who's hooked him up with this endless parade and procession of cars, a different one every week.
Absolutely.
So,
So and he looks better for it, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, man. It's like, although he, what is the deal now? Because right now in the parking lot, Tim is driving this Subaru Baja, and Ian, our former weapon master, Ian Gordon in the hall, is driving. What is this Mercedes that Ian is driving?
The Mercedes SL500.
And it's like $90,000.
In a bargain at that.
Now, the question is, does Tim get that next?
It's worth of my house.
Well, you live next to family killers out there.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to say, you live in a neighborhood with a bunch of Christian slayers, supposedly.
Theoretically.
But, you know, the Subaru Baja I have, I took down to 23rd Street and parked it in front of coffee people. And the marketing is, like, for these surfer dudes, but the chicks really dig this.
No, they're asking all the questions.
And that is 90% of why you buy a car.
Let me just say this about the Subaru Baja. I'm sure it's a great vehicle, but somebody noted correctly yesterday that it's a total lesbo vehicle. It's a total lesbian vehicle. No, I don't mean to disparage the car, but I'm saying if you could picture a lesbian driving some car like some burly woman named Alice or something, she would totally be in the Subaru Baja because it's small, kind of sporty, but you could probably carry some lumber and plywood and spackle and nails in the back of it.
Well, it's actually the Subaru Forester is targeted there.
Yeah.
That's the Martina Navratilova car.
Seriously, I know this. We had this lesbian couple that we're friends with in Salt Lake City, man. You go see them, and they get the little Subaru, like, kind of a mini, sort of a sporty, fashionable type of four-wheel drive vehicle. Like, I don't know. I guess lesbians do a lot more four-wheeling than I do. But so you're in L.A. for it. Now, what is it you're there
for? Well, these are the press days for the L.A. show. L.A. is the L.A. show, and then Detroit, right on the heels of this, are the two biggest car shows in the country. And this is where the manufacturers roll out all their new stuff that's going to be out for 2003, 2004. And the last couple of days are media days here, and then the media days start in Detroit. So you'll see things all over the place on all the new cars. And, I mean, there's everything from Alpina Roadsters, the BMW V8 for a mere $137,000, down to the brand new Pontiac has introduced their new GTO.
What does that look like anyway?
Well, there was a horde of people. It's not your old GTO, that's okay. For sure. Because that old GTO came in, you know, it was a cool, you know, unsophisticated vehicle that had a lot of power, but it was really inexpensive. This one's going to be a mid-$30,000 price car, but it's 340 horsepower, 5.7 liter engine. So it's going to be the top of the line for the Pontiac line.
So what,
I'm not sure that they're going to be, you know, they still think they're going to get Bubba NASCAR drivers in it. And I'm not sure that's really what they want.
So now, Tim, do you get to see this GTO at some point?
That's in L.A.
It's in L.A. right now.
No, but I mean at some point in the future.
Oh, absolutely, down the road.
Yeah, see, I got to tell you that Tim, and you especially, certain neighborhoods importantly, take these cars in, man, and the women just going to be on you like white on rice.
It is, you know, I've told this to Tim, it's amazing how much more attractive you get depending on what you're driving. That's no more evident than in L.A.
Completely, especially in L.A. where my girlfriend and I were talking about this the other day, especially in L.A. where everybody is, like, just by dint of being in L.A., the odds that you're going to be good-looking, they're exponentially higher. So in L.A., everybody's blonde, everybody's tall, everybody's beautiful. The guys are all handsome and chiseled with the Greek-Roman features, you know, whatever. So you,
yeah, I went to Hermosa Beach for the Comedy of Magic store last night and decided to go by this hotspot, Sharky's. And as I walked in, I decided I'm 15 years too old and clearly too much of an Oregonian to be here.
Totally. And so you got to have every possible edge to make you look attractive in Los Angeles, and the car totally does that. So how long is the car show going on?
Well, this goes on through the week. The public gets to show up, I think, starting tomorrow.
Cool.
But they bring out all the buzzes and bells for this. I mean, we had kind of movie cars showing up. Mazda's going to be debuting their X-Men 2 RX-8 here in just a bit. And Aston Martin, showed out their new DB AR1 that's, you know, prototype. There's only one of them made. They have to get 59 orders in order to make it financially viable, but at $230,000, that should be a problem.
I got to start dealing crack or something. Right. I need to be able to afford a better class of cars. Well, the next one, when you're in town next, drop by, and we'll talk more about this.
We'll do it.
Cool. Oh, by the way, before you guys forget, L.A. is the fourth or fifth largest car market. Not in the U.S., but in the world.
In the world.
Well, yeah, because you can't, because, like, no tramp. You don't want to walk anywhere in L.A. There's Brad, the guy who hooks Tim up with a procession of lovely cars there from the L.A. Auto Show going on there. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-737-5955. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Okay, so let's talk about Eminem and Walt Whitman helping Daniel Day-Lewis get into character in Gangs of New York. Day-Lewis says the combination of fury and humor in Eminem's music helped him understand Bill the Butcher. A recording of Walt Whitman is also instrumental. Not only did it help him speak like Bill Cutting, Whitman's poems were a window to New York street life. He says the poems helped even more than history books. He really did.
I realized that there was something essential in that combination of fury and humor, which was both irresistible and very, very relevant to what I needed. And I love his music. I think it's wonderful. I think very often people seem to ignore his sense of humor.
Now, see, this is the first mark that you're going to go down culture-wise. This is how you know that it's become your time to become unhip. As soon as we were talking the other day about Maureen Dowd, is like some gigantic Eminem fan. So as soon as Daniel Day-Lewis, as soon as anybody from France, basically, isn't he some French guy?
I don't know who he is.
Where the hell is Daniel Day-Lewis from? Does anybody know? Clyde?
I think he's a Brit.
Whatever. Anyway, as soon as people in Europe start liking your music, you know it's all. That's either the beginning or the end of your career. Because the beginning of your career, the only people who like your ass are in, you know, they do. We're huge in Belgium, you know, so you go and you rock, you know, Denmark or whatever. And then you achieve worldwide fame, and then at the end of your career, that's all you got to be like, you know, Bill Haley, you know, or Jerry Lee Lewis, where you're like 75 and still playing over in, like, Stuttgart or something. So the only place that people that'll pay to see your ass.
Day-Lewis tells us what it's like to listen to the recordings of Walt Whitman.
It was a voice at that time. And his work in general I found tremendously helpful, his poetry. He had almost a total identification with the feverish intensity and the cut and thrust of New York street life. There was something in there which I felt went further to give me a sense of what that world was than any of these sociological documents.
We understand you've been on a five-year hiatus. Did it just happen? Was it deliberate or planned?
I just was taking time
to do
other things.
Could these questions possibly be any less interesting?
The negative.
Is there any way that this interview with Daniel Day-Lewis could be more dull and sleep-inducing?
I didn't choose these.
Other things, and I think I have a kind of loose understanding.
Then we can interview a piece of wood next.
Time passed, really, without me noticing it.
We understand that you have favorite letters and colors. Would you please tell us what they are?
We understand you think a Renault is a cool car.
It should be noted, by the way. I got this note on the screen for Bruce, our program director, who said, how great is it that Tim doesn't know the word flummoxed, since his pictionary is in the picture is in the dictionary next to it. So you can't pronounce any words today. Yeah. I can't talk today. Let's actually count the number of things that have gone wrong so far in just the first 18 minutes of the show.
I missed my bus
a little
downtown.
Before the show.
Well, I was 10 minutes late getting here.
I wasn't 10 minutes. I was 5 minutes.
Oh, that's not true. You walked into the studio 8 minutes and 53 seconds after the hour.
Well, I was stranded downtown. I missed my bus, and so I grabbed a cab, and I got here just in time.
What are you doing downtown? I thought you turned to dust if the sun hit you before noon.
Well, it does, but I had to get some errands run and done, and it seems like, you know, today I had to work, and Thursday's usually my day to prepare for my show that I do at night, or Wednesday, or Thursday, Friday, and now I'm just confused. I don't even know what the heck's going on.
All right, it's 503-250 tonight in Portland. We're here with Sarah Dillon, Clyde Lewis, Tim Riley, and y'all. We will continue with more. It's 503-250 tonight in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on, we got today's top five. We got the top five non-country songs about drinking of all time, as well as Jolie from the front desk. We're going to find out more about Gabe and that the big hot three-way action coming up this weekend later on. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, Richard Nutt for the WB, and all of that. I'm going anyway. It's 503-250-TANETTI. Here's Everlast. It's outside TANETTI. KTK. Stay there.
It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It's a sunshine day.
Are we going to keep talking about things that have gone wrong?
Jesus, God. Well, no, I mean, there's nowhere to go but up from here, baby.
I hope so.
All right, he's sure dealing with traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. It is Friday. Thanks for coming along. Later on, top five, Jolie from the front desk, Richard Nunn for the WB.
Is that what paramutual... What is paramutual betting? Does that mean any horse racing? What does paramutual even mean?
Clyde?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Paramutual. I never figured out what paramutual... I think it's like an agreed-upon bet between you and...
Are you hungover?
He looks
yes,
hungover.
Yes, I'm very hungover.
I'm just saying...
He's a little crabby.
Yeah, I'm not crabby. No, everybody's like thinking I'm crabby. I'm not crabby.
I'm just saying, it's one of those days where your voice sounds like it's got fur growing on the edges of it.
Yeah, well, I went out... I was drinking with your girlfriend last night, so... You know, I went out drinking with your...
Laura? She's a maniac.
There's a long line of guys who can say the same.
So I was drinking with Laura and Anna, the beautiful Anna, and a number of other beautiful women last night, so it was great.
Yeah. You know, you just sound like a record today that's gradually slowing down.
So. Yeah, that's how you get the good pipes, is you drink a lot of whiskey and smoke a lot of cigars.
503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. By the way, we'll talk later on about Sarah, who's doing the traffic on Fox 12 this morning, which I... we have some clips of that we'll play later on in some email about that as well. Plus, something that escapes me at the moment. Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. Like us later on today. Also, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is Mike. You're on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK. What's up, man?
Well, I wanted to comment about Sarah Dillon today.
Yes.
I got up, and she seemed to get warm for a while because her cheeks got all flushed, and she took off some clothing.
Really? Were you doing
strip? Oh, don't even make it sound risque.
Strip traffic this morning?
What?
Was she doing strip traffic or something?
Well, it seemed like it. Then all of a sudden, she must have gotten cold up there, and she put it back.
It was just my scarf.
Let me just say this about Sarah. Let me talk about this for a moment. If you watch, now, if you're here, if we had a webcam, you'd be able to see this. But we don't have a webcam, and so you just have to play along, do the picture pages in your head. Let me tell you about Sarah. Through the course of a day, let's say Sarah gets here at like 11. Some days she shows till like 4. Some days it's still 7. But over the course of the day, she puts on and takes off various items of clothing like 75 different times. Like, you'll walk in there, and it looks like she's getting ready to go out for a night in the town in Manchester, because she's got the coat on, the scarf wrapped around her neck. Later on, come in, it's like just a t-shirt. Later on, it's like a tracksuit. I don't know what it is, but she puts on and takes off clothes.
What about that raspberry sweater she wears? She always takes it off.
It's
with
not
the
raspberry, it's red.
It's salmon.
It's salmon.
Salmon.
Thank you, Tim.
Sushi, I don't know.
Right. We've already been through the salmon.
Okay, right. Salmon.
Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
Well, the Oregon Department of Revenue is asking you not to file your taxes till after the January 28th election about the taxes. The results of the special election will determine the correct income tax rate to use in filing the 2002 returns. The Department of Revenue says it will not process any tax returns until after the election. If you send in one using the wrong rate, you will be billed or refunded as needed once the correct rates are established. That means you wait till the very end.
I'm just going to skip this whole process. I'm going to live in a trailer in Idaho and refuse to pay any taxes at all.
I'll go to Canada in a minivan. Nobody will notify.
Go through. Like, it's just a sieve. Canada is just, that whole border is made out of burlap. You can just slip on through.
Couples of different races and ethnicities accounting for 1 in 8 marriages in Oregon last year. That's up from 1 in 12 a decade earlier. That according to the records. The most common unions were between Hispanics, the state's largest minority, and whites. A majority of the two groups, Asian Americans and American Indians, chose partners outside their own race. While women were far more likely than white men to tie the knot with a person of another race. It's getting complicated.
I lost track of this. About 30 seconds ago, I lost track of what you were talking about.
In 1960, Salem was 99% white. But now... 20,000 Hispanics call the city home, or about 15% of the overall population.
Well, no, but Oregon is still, what did we always say about Oregon? So green, yet so white.
Yeah.
But it's all isolated in these little pockets. Like, you go to Woodburn, man. Woodburn, let me talk about taquitos for a second. You want to find yourself a good taquita? You go to Woodburn. Woodburn's where all the fine Mexican food is to be found here. And then there's some Russian neighborhood around, I guess, but I've forgotten where it is. There's some...
I think they're on Foster Road.
Somebody tell me there's some place where you get good borscht. But I forgot what it is. Also, here's another thing that's weird about the Northwest. Do you ever notice that the Northwest has got some weird, peculiar fixation on Thai food? I've never been anywhere in the country where they got such a Thai fetish as they do here. I don't know where that comes from. But man, Thai...
LA has it, too.
You can't walk out of the door without tripping over a Thai restaurant here.
But Thai food's good for you, and it's good.
No, yeah. I'm not disputing that it's good. I'm just saying it's sort of weird. It seems, although, I guess we had it in San Diego, but it seems anomalous that it's just so saturated here in the Northwest with Thai food.
And we're starting to get more Vietnamese, too.
Yeah.
What else? Let's talk about some unusual unions. Just after reconciliation seemed to be in the cards for Bruce Willis and his ex-wife Demi Moore, it seems another man has suddenly swept in and stole the woman's heart. Bruce is seething because she's secretly dating ex-president Bill Clinton.
What? Demi?
Why is Bruce Willis seething again?
It says she's dating...
Ex-President Bill Clinton.
All right. I said this is old news. I said this weeks ago. Weeks and weeks and weeks ago, I said that Demi Moore was dating Bill Clinton, which is fine. It's like, go...
Does Hillary know?
Go Bill. Why don't Hillary doesn't... Again, Hillary's probably taking pictures. I don't know. Hillary doesn't care. Hillary's busy being... Hillary, they're totally like just a swap-off couple. You can totally see that, where he's a politician for a while, and she sleeps around, and then, you know, she's a politician, and he goes to Australia and sleeps with Demi Moore. What is the point of being Bill Clinton if you can't just... I mean, you know what I mean? It's like being Jesse Owens and not being, not being allowed to go to the Olympics.
I mean,
that's what he does. He's Bill Clinton.
He just picks up the
phone.
He
philanders. He's good at it. It's his fort, you might say. It's his strong point.
Hello, Demi. Hillary isn't feeling well. Can I come to Australia?
Seriously, there's any woman that would say no to that. Like, there's any woman on planet Earth that would turn down Bill Clinton. I don't think so.
Are you serious? You have some strange fascination with Bill Clinton. I think very many women would say no.
No.
He's turned on by
Bill Clinton.
Let's see the
different kinds of equipment we have. I'm a woman.
It's just that he's a player. It's not like I got a fixation with him. It's just that he's, he's a Hef. He's a Mac. He's a pimp. He's... You know, all of that
he's
stuff.
He's Elvis.
I know. He's best president ever.
Well, the actress is said to be captivated by Bill's mature sex appeal and witty one-liners.
Apparently, I'm in the minority on that, so I'll just be silent.
Well, the future looks cloudy for dozens of fortune tellers and psychics in San Francisco after legislation was proposed to require them to obtain permits, post their rates, and stop tricking their clients.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
The San Francisco Yellow Pages list no fewer than 105 psychics, 20 spiritual consultants, and 17 astrologers. None of them seem happy about the proposal. What a ripoff, says Dionysa, the goddess of light and direction.
Okay.
Dionysa?
Yeah. It's just the city capitalizing on folks trying to make a living. The city council would know a psychic if it bit him in the head. The council also said fortune-telling is an age-old industry and is welcome in San Francisco.
Let me understand this. So the city's going to regulate. How is it that one regulates psychics? Someone explain to me how that's possible.
I suppose there's some test you have to go through.
Where are my car keys? That's what I'll be impressed by psychics. Where did I lose my last ballpoint pen?
It's always in the drawer, the bottom drawer.
No, and here's the thing. Do you ever notice this with your car keys, that you always expect it to reappear where it ought to be? I'm undoubtedly not the first person to make this observation, but you're always checking where the thing should be. You know what I mean? So it's like if you're missing your car keys, you know, you got to check, like, you look in the ignition of your car, or you look in your pocket, or you look on the key hook like 700,000 times, because that's where the thing supposedly should be located.
Well, the city council does not want to discourage legitimate, modestly priced psychics, tarot card readers, or sellers of fortune cookies.
Yeah, all right. Whatever you say. The idea of the city trying to... And they're doing this because they're tired of people being... What is this? They're taken in and fleeced by illegitimate psychics?
Yeah.
All right. Whatever you say.
It just gives a good one to the bad
name. It's just too easy. There's no joke I can make there. It's just too easy. It's just sitting there.
Houston, we have a weight problem. I didn't write this.
You love those guys at the AP who are just, they're convinced
they wait all day to be able to do something like
and
this.
And they all think they're Shecky Green, too, man. Those guys all think that they're Robert Klein, just sitting there at the AP waiting to let their tiny little minuscule wit spill forth on the pages they send out.
Well, for the third year in a row, Men's Fitness Magazine has named the city the nation's fattest. Houston, Texas, blaming the region's hot and humid climate, abysmal air quality, relative lack of outdoor recreation, and residents' love for junk food.
That's what do you mean outdoor lack of outdoor recreation? It's Texas. It's the great outdoors, isn't it? Isn't there stuff to do in Texas?
No. It's flat in there.
I was in El Paso, and I got drunk at a
cantina.
Those Applebee's. I was at an Applebee's in El Paso and got completely toasted because I was going to go to Roswell the next morning. And I just didn't know what to do with my life there. So I
just you're
drunk.
The only person that this story would ever come out of. Who no one else's mouth would ever generate a story about. I was in El Paso at an Applebee's because I was going to Roswell.
Yeah, I was on my way to Roswell, and there was nothing to do in El Paso. I was going to go to Juarez, but I said, don't go to Juarez, I'll kill you. So I decided to stay here in good old USA and get
don't
drunk.
Go to Juarez, gringo. And how American is that? Where were you? I went to El Paso, Texas. Where'd you eat? Applebee's? It's like going to Spain and looking for a TGI. You're at TGI Fridays around here? The hell is that about? Only American. My brother used to do that. My brother was like, he was in the Marines and he was in Israel and he was bitching that he couldn't find a McDonald's anywhere. And it's like, hello, you're...
And then he went to, I don't know, Sorrentina or someplace over in Italy, and he was carping around. They couldn't find. I'm looking for his skippers. You know, it's why would you possibly do that?
We found a Kentucky Fried Chicken in Buenos Aires, and we were just like hopping. We were happy because we wanted to eat there. And the Argentines loved it, too, because it was salty chicken.
Well, that's just because in Argentina, everything else is going to be made out of rat and raccoon.
No, that's not true. They eat a lot of beef down there, so it's always steaks.
Got that free. The Argentinians, they got that free range cattle down there.
Oh, yeah, it's all free range cattle. You get big, thick steaks for like a buck and a quarter.
Let me talk to you about free range cattle for a second. You want to do some good eating. You want to eat yourself some fine meat. By the way, here's a thought within a thought. I started to get spammed by the Omaha Steak Company, which is a weird thing because you reach some event horizon where you can't tell the porn spam apart from the rest of the spam. And so when I get, and so like on the one hand, you'll get like, I don't even want to tell, but you get like weird elderly porn or midget porn spam. And then you start to get spam for big, thick, juicy pieces of meat. And then there comes some sort of moment of fuzzification where you can't tell the two apart. But you go to Nature's, I think it is. Is that Whole Foods place, Nature's, or Whole Paycheck, whatever that place in the Pearl District is, they got the great steak there, and it's because it's Argentinian. They import Argentinian beef for there. It's the finest eating you're ever going to do.
So guess what the other fat cities are? Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, St. Louis, but we are the sixth least fat city in America.
Portland?
Yeah.
That's kind of
shocked. I guess it is one of the fattest.
I was going to say, that speaks poorly for the rest of the nation. So there's a whole lot of big asses and bulging waistlines.
No, I've seen a lot of people here in Oregon that look young. I mean, older people look very young, and I'd be surprised how old they are when they tell me.
Well, but there's no middle ground here. The people are really, you know, they're either sitting in a tree somewhere and hiking up on Mount Hood, or they're sitting at home eating Cheetos and drinking a lot of Frangia.
And the older women here are hot. They are just beautiful. I was at New Year's. I saw a lot of older women, and they were beautiful. Blown away.
Yeah, but then a lot of them got that organ butt disease, though.
No, 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 no.
The ass grows.
They were
grows.
Perfect. They
like
looked
the ass
really
of Dorian
good.
Gray. Mm. You know, like the rest of them stays thin, but the ass just grows enormous.
Well, I know that this study wasn't done like by weighing individuals. It was done by like how many memberships to fitness clubs there were, or how many fitness clubs per capita.
That's a retarded standard anyway.
Yeah.
Because fitness clubs are just a big ream job, and secondly, because, you know, we live in the Northwest, which not really, there's no point anyway. All right.
Well, the Center for Disease Control called 185,000 Americans and asked them if they were overweight, and that contributed to the survey.
Well, and Americans never think they are. Americans, here's what every guy says, by the way. This is what every guy says when he hits 35, 36, 37, early 40s. How many guys you know do this? They use that phrase of, I wear the same belt size I wore in high school. And what they, and they're, because it's fastening it under
they
the
pull
gut.
Their gut over it.
Yeah, and the gut is just pouring out of there like it's just lava out of St. Helens, just pouring over the rim of the belt. But they're fastening the pants under the gut. There they can get away with that. And, oh, I'm still a size 30. So don't believe the hype.
I was speaking a minute ago about Thai food. Well, a new initiative is being launched in Thailand to help Thai women boost their breast size. The scheme claims to offer help to those who feel inadequate because of the bombardment of media images of big, busted Western women. A specially trained troupe of bosom dancers will show women how to improve their bust without resorting to cosmetic surgery. Says one doctor, many women are not aware that wearing an appropriate size of bra and regularly taking bosom-firming dancing can make their wish come true. They're training 12 pair of instructors to teach women how to take care of their breasts, and they plan to launch them on Valentine's Day nationwide.
This is like when you watch, you watch a television or Springer late at night. Springer's lousy with this, where they got the breast-enhancing pill and powders. And here's how you know none of that stuff works, is that you still walk around and you still see flat-chested women, which, of course, if I was a woman, that'd be the first thing I did. If I came back as a woman, I was reincarnated, the first thing you do is go out and get a boob job somehow. That would be the first, that'd be like item A1 on your agenda. So that's how you know none of this works. It's like what the hell was I watching the other day? It must have been, and it was some quasi-reputable channel, too. It was like Discovery or A&E or something. They were hawking some self-hypnosis tape where it was like, think your bosom large or something. Which is stuff I always get suckered into watching. It's just infomercials that are not only for products I'm not going to buy, but products that, by definition, I could never use and don't need. You know, like, what is this? Well, it's that, you know, it's for curves. You know, those, and have you seen curves? Those little, like, chicken cutlet-looking things, those, like, falsies? You stick in your bra, you know what I'm talking about? Those curve things?
You're talking about this way too much.
I know. I'm thinking, do you go to Darcelle's on the weekends that I don't know about or something?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I dance under the name of Roxy. That's exactly what I did. No, you know what I'm talking
about. I knew it.
That infomercial for those
weird those little jelly things you can stick in your bra?
Yeah, because one of the co-hosts of the infomercial is Jenny Lee Harrison from Three's Company.
Oh, no.
Good to see that career's working out well for you. All right. We got more on the way. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. 1-800-727-5955. Later on, Richard Numb from the WB. We got Jolie from the front desk coming up, as well as the top five non-country drinking songs of all time. Don't go anywhere. It's Hot Talk to Nettie Cave to Kate's, a Rick Emerson show. Stay there. We will continue after this.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Here is Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
For the
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Hey, Rick, you cheap bastard. What's up with the tiny pictures on the website? Don't they pay you enough at that asshole radio station that you can afford some decent-sized pics? Tell the boss to cough up some cash. Yeah, I'll do that. I'm sure he'll get right on it. That always works in radio. I need my money. Okay, here you go. How much would you like? This is about our good friend Morton Klein, the hacker, yesterday. Rick. I watched a show on... can I tell you, by the way, that I got more response on... Everybody coming to me in the hallway this morning wanted a tape of the hacking, twitching guy from Buchanan and Press yesterday.
It's available at popular prices.
Rick, I watched a show in Tourette's that featured a boy who spit uncontrollably. His family had to cover their food to keep it free of his spit. I didn't think there was anything that could make me laugh harder than that. Thank you for playing that Klein interview snippet. Well, I aim to please. And one more, Christina Aguilera. Rick, I just read today that Christina Aguilera has signed a deal with Playboy to pose. Not sure on a date, though.
I got another story on her here.
Will she shower before she poses?
Yeah, see, let me just say this about Christina Aguilera for a minute. We've been talking about her for the last few days, about how she's all skanking up in an attempt, and I don't know what... to what end, I'm not really sure either, because, you know, Christina Aguilera, her whole thing for the longest time has been take me seriously as a musician. When her first album came out, and everybody kind of noticed that she had a better voice than Britney Spears, and that the material she was given, you know, she didn't write any of it. I mean, the material was pretty much the same, but she had a broader range, and she really was able to kind of belt out the vocals. And so her quest at that point, by her own admission, came to be, you know, that she wanted to be taken seriously as a vocalist. And I don't know why she thinks that showing her ass in Stuff magazine is going to do that. Because she's immediately skipped from, like, teen pop to I'm a hoe. And I don't know, at some point, like, actual musician got left out there somewhere. So I guess she's just cut right to the end of her career.
She did photos and stuff as well, because I saw them in Maxim,
maybe
where she's wearing fishnet underwear.
Whatever that one where she's showing that ass, where she's got the floss.
That was the one she's, like, flopping around in the water.
Tube or something. Mm. But anyway, so I was talking to a guy about this yesterday, and isn't it funny that it's having exactly the opposite of the reaction she wants? That obviously her whole thing is to get guys to find her hot and therefore to find her interesting and therefore to pay attention to her music. And I have not talked to one guy who's turned on by it, and I've talked to a whole bunch of guys that find it all repellent and weird.
She looks like she has stood above a exhaust hood at McDonald's. I mean, you know how that grease goes up there and it just kind of like attaches to everything. She's all coated nice and brown.
Yeah, seriously, you just want to squeegee her off before you do anything with it. You give that girl one good sitz bath before you do anything. All right, it's Tim Riley.
British TV bosses have told her to cover up or take a hike. According to the London Sun, the 60s songstress showed too much of her body during a recent appearance on a children's television show. She apparently she goes from a bottom exposing panties, brown cowboy chaps, now the black pants, a top hat and tie. She was also ordered to skip her usual striptease style dance routine and sing while sitting on a stool. This according to outraged British parents called the BBC complaining about it.
See, and the other thing is that it has, at a certain point, it just loses all effect. You know what I mean? It's like, I always say, it's like living next to a waterfall. After about 6 months, you don't even notice that anymore. And it's like Pam Anderson. You know, I suppose I'd sleep with Pam Anderson, given the chance and all, but I don't even really find her to be all that attractive anymore because it's just... You know, because I'm just too, used to it. I just see Pam Anderson so much, and I've seen it. It's like I was Playboy, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, I guess. I didn't even buy it, but it was in Plaid Pantry, and it was on the cover, you know, inside, Pam Anderson nude. And it's a pass, thanks. You know, just show me something I haven't seen like 50 million times already.
I just bought a brand new Us magazine, and it has lots of Pam Anderson pictures. Did she get her breast implants back in?
I don't know.
They are huge.
Because she was getting them taken out, and then I heard that she wasn't getting them removed. She was getting them removed and getting a smaller size put in. But, you know, I got to tell you, it doesn't look like she's done a damn thing to me. It looks like you're just, I don't know, maybe she's, maybe hepatitis goes, you just swell or something, because I can't even tell.
Guy was on TV tonight. John Carpenter's Escape from L.A.
Not as good as Escape from New York, but it's got Pam Grier and Stacey Keach. Those are selling points.
That's on at 9 o'clock. Also, Ferris Bueller's Day Off is on PAX, of all places. Isn't that a religious station? Biographies on tonight. Paul Lynde, Off Center.
Paul Lynde. That's who we're all itching to hear a biography about. Maybe they could do Charles Nelson Reilly next.
Smokey and the Bandit 2.
Smokey and the Bandit 2. Worst sequel ever. Worst sequel in the history of the goddamn planet that is not Caddyshack 2, which is the litmus test. Caddyshack 2 is that is the standard. That is the gold rock bottom by which all bad sequels are judged. But Cannonball 2 is bad despite the presence of Jackie Chan and Jamie Farr, which are normally things that spell comedy dynamite.
What else do we have here? George of the Jungle, Brandon Fraser. A man raised by apes rescues a U.S. heiress.
And who thought that was a good idea? Also, that they're making a sequel to that. Not only are they making a sequel to George of the Jungle, they're making a sequel to Monkey Bone, which is just this gigantic abortion of a film that just never...
You're kidding, right?
No,
didn't
really
that make
not.
About $2 in the box office?
It made nothing. There was absolutely nothing in that film that was redeeming in any way, shape, matter, manner, or form, and yet sequelized.
The Shawshank Redemption. Tom Robbins and Morgan Freeman. Two life sentences for a 1947 double murder land an innocent man in a Maine prison.
Shawshank Redemption, which I think by any standard, by any measuring yardstick, must rank as one of the top 10 guy movies of all time. There is no guy... If you don't like the Shawshank Redemption, you got to turn in your man card. There's just no way you can be a man and not like the Shawshank Redemption. It's right up there with, Tombstone. It's a modern guy classic.
Yeah, let's see. Who do we have here? I never heard of this person, but Sydney Tamea Poitier describes herself... Nobody corrected my pronunciation. I guess it was okay.
I don't know who she is.
Well, I didn't pick this one either.
Oh, wait. Is she the chick from that Abby show?
Yeah.
On UPN?
That's what this is all about.
Well, I've never seen it, but I was. But if you watch Buffy or anything on UPN, you're just subjected to ads with this Abby show.
This is
constantly.
Dear Abby?
About every 12 minutes. No, it's yet another precocious and intelligent teenager who's wise beyond her years.
Now, that sounds like totally entertaining television.
It sounds like a brand new, stunningly refreshing concept. It's never been done before.
She doesn't even know the rules of most games, much less watch sports. The closest she came to being a fan when she was in high school playing basketball and baseball, she says she can watch hoops just when it's playoffs or championships. This sounds like a boring story as well. Well, okay, and then we get down to the soundbite, which has nothing to do with that. She says she uses her middle name for a simple reason.
I never used it growing up, but then when I joined SAG, I had to use it. They wouldn't let me just sign up as Sydney Poitier, even though they're spelled differently and whatnot. It would
Is
just
her
be
father
confusing.
Sydney Poitier?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So her name's Sydney Poitier, and they wouldn't let her...
And she's
right.
a woman.
Right.
Well,
she's
no, because
woman.
You have to, because SAG only... SAG right. won't let any two names. You can't register with the same name. That's why people use...
You can't be like Robert Holt.
Like, people have to use their middle initial.
What about Emilio Estevez?
What do you mean?
Well,
there's no other Emilio
That's
Estevez.
Why Martin Sheen calls himself Emilio Estevez. His real name is Emilio Estevez. You know?
No, his right. real name is Ramon.
I thought it was Emilio.
No, Martin Sheen is Ramon Estevez.
Okay.
But, like, you couldn't... But like, if there was another Martin Sheen, he'd have to be Martin K. Sheen or Marty Sheen. Essay the Screen Actors Guild won't let any two people with the same name register under that name.
Ever.
That's why that guy on the Anna Nicole Smith show, because he's on E, and so he's got to register with SAG. That's why he's got to be Howard K. Stern. Her attorney, because Howard Stern, having been in Private Parts, is already registered with SAG. So, it's just,
wow.
Isn't this an exciting conversation?
It is. Ms. Poitier says she differs from her character, Abby. She produces a fictional sports program.
She loves sports. I don't love sports. I don't know much about sports. I'm trying really hard to
familiarize myself. This is the worst story we've ever had.
I thought the 12-15 one was pretty bad.
This is worse than Daniel Day-Lewis.
I need to know them for the show.
And by the way, there's an overturned logging truck at Northeast 21st and Cedar Creek Road in Clark County.
Okay. Here's Corey on Hot Talk to Medicaid at the K. What's up?
Hey, Rick. I'm calling about Christina Aguilera.
Yes. What do you got?
Hey, in my office, the like or hater line is divided between black guys and white guys.
And
all the brothers love her. All the white guys are looking at her like, I don't see it.
Now, see, but here's the thing. I think that the reason the black guys love Christina now is because she said, and it was really well publicized in that interview a few weeks ago, she made the observation that she would never again date a white guy. She said that from now on, it was the chocolate love only for her. And so I think it's sort of like that. It's like when I was a teenager, it's like, well, what kind of girls do you like? I like girls who like me. It's, you know, the biggest way you can make a girl attractive to me is for her to like me. That's all about.
I didn't actually read the article. I just looked at the pictures.
I don't know. I'm not with the. I think I'm unlike a lot of guys. I'm not with the butt floss.
I love the booty.
No.
Tell you what.
Yeah.
I worked hard to put a booty on my white girl.
Have some more ham. Yeah, it looks like this hour's over. I've got a brick of cheese. Here's some. Have some Ready Whip. All right, we got more on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080. KOTK, putting a booty on that girl. All right, stay there. We'll be back.
Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
No monster round.